Galatians chapter and number 5 in the Word of God tonight, and met just several visitors here with us this evening. We're so thankful once again that you're here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and boy, the Lord met with us this morning. I am so thankful. It was wonderful seeing Ben and Hannah get baptized today. Amen. And it's always wonderful. We see young people come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and then come and just obey our Savior in baptism. And boy, what a joy it was just to be in the house of the Lord, and the guests that were here with us, just a wonderful vibe. It might have had something to do with the fact that it did hit right at 60 degrees today. Man, oh man. How many enjoyed that today? Say amen. The other half was sleeping during it, but it was just a beautiful day, and we praise the Lord once again. We can come back, and just want to pause and just say thank you to all the visitors who are here with us once again tonight. We've been in a series now over the last several Sunday nights entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit that ought to indwell the life of a believer. And the amazing thing is, it kind of goes along right with Psalm number 1, where we were in the Word of God this morning, living the normal Christian life. I think what we're beginning to see through the Word of God is the Word of God sets so plainly in view and gives us such a great foundation for us to live a life that is not bothersome. It's not hard. It's not struggling. It's not a trial. It's not living just tribulation day in, day out, as most of the world views Christianity. But when you and I look at the normal Christian life, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it really is a wonderful way to live. It's a peaceful way to live. It's really, to be honest, it's a very easy way to live, because we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and guides and directs and protects our life. And so once again, maybe even for those who are viewing live stream tonight, we're going to find ourselves here in Galatians chapter number 5. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight, Galatians chapter number 5. And since I addressed the live stream, let me just talk to those who are watching via live streams tonight. We are very close. I'd like to just say publicly, I praise the Lord for Pastor Chris, Brother Darren, and so many others. Nicole, who's here on Sunday mornings getting things set up. And they have worked tirelessly, including yesterday, which is supposed to be a day off for our staff. Was here just about all day, I would imagine, trying to get the camera set up and the TriCaster set and the computers and everything. And I hear now, Pastor Chris, we're very close. And so we do praise the Lord for that. I can't guarantee that next Sunday we're going to be live with high-definition cameras. And man, is it going to look good. Can't promise it'll be next week, but I know that we are very, very close. And so for all those of you who are watching live stream who can't be here with us for health reasons or maybe even due to COVID still, we're almost there. So just hang with us. We appreciate your patience so much. And for those of you who are in here, well, you don't have to worry about it. So, Galatians chapter number 5, let's look at verse number 22. The Word of God says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," we looked at this past week, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." This evening, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "The Fruit of Goodness." The fruit of goodness. Let's go to our Lord in prayer tonight. Father, Lord, we just would be foolish not to say thank you. Thank you, Savior, for meeting with us this morning. Father, that simple phrase, that simple verse in verse number 4, is with the wicked, Lord, it's different than with the righteous. Father, as we approach the Word of God, may we do such in a way that we rightly divide the Word of truth. And once again, just get that reminder that life is so much more than the little things that we fret over. Life is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for a church at Cross Point that, Lord, would not only take tracks, but, Father, ask for more. What an amazing, amazing thing that's happening right here, Father. And that's that we're beginning to get this, once again, renewed vision for Hendricks County, for Marion County, for the surrounding area, for those who we meet each and every day. Father, it's not just an acquaintance, Lord. It's divine. It's of you. It's an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Lord, may we be about your business this week. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me, Lord, just the freedom to preach this message. Lord, I trust that it'll be an encouragement to us tonight. Father, once again, as we head into the Word of God, may it not return void, but Father, may it be our final authority, our foundation, our faith. Lord, may it be everything that we need it to be this evening, and so much more as it can be. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been walking through this series, we've seen that Paul has just come through walking us through the works of the flesh. In verses number 16 through 21, we're reminded to walk in the Spirit. And once again, we're reminded, watch now, that the Spirit versus the flesh is a constant battle that you and I face, and we face it often. We struggle with it. It's not that we just get saved and we're saved and that's it. We no longer sin. That's it. We no longer struggle. That's it. We no longer battle the flesh. But no, we're reminded that at times, oftentimes, we must empty ourselves of flesh so that the Spirit can have free reign in our hearts and our lives. In verse number 22, that little word, but, B-U-T, is a little word that is the hinge upon which great events and truths turn. So it is here. In verse number 21, we see now the works of the flesh are manifest, are these. They are which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then we come to verse number 22 and it says, but. When we begin to head into the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit that ought to shine in our hearts and in our lives. It's a fruit that begins to work naturally in us. We saw, first of all, that the first three fruits are really emotional. Love, joy, and peace. Love, it is the sum and the substance of the Christian life. It began with love. We understand now that it is truly God. God is love. Then comes joy. Joy is not just another word for happiness, but human happiness, and often in our life, depends on what takes place or circumstances or what is happening. Joy is not that. Joy smiles in the face of even the most adverse of circumstances. Its joy takes even Calvary in its stride. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then we came to this little word, peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It was his legacy. It was his example. He is the very definition of what peace is. It was wielded at the edge of Calvary by the Prince of Peace himself. His peace was the peace of God, as we read, which passeth all understanding. We understand that that is true peace. We allow God's peace to rule and to reign in our hearts, in our lives. When we begin to take on that attribute from our Heavenly Father, that is when we get to experience real peace in the midst of real tribulation or real hard times or depressing times or down times. That was our Savior. He could sleep amid the raging storm. He could await unmoved the approach of the demon-possessed madman, the terror of everyone that happened to be part of that country at that time. He could hold his peace when his enemies baited and badgered and falsely accused, mocked, and railed on him. That's the peace that God leaves with you and with me. The next three fruits that we've been diving into are evidential. They provide visible proof that some great work that God has wrought in a believer's heart. We saw, first of all, long-suffering. That means you and I are not going to have a short fuse, but we're going to have patience in our life, with our marriages, with our kids, with our coworkers, with transportation, with our country, with our leaders. There's that long-suffering that comes in the life of a Christian that allows the Holy Spirit to work. And last week, we saw gentleness. The word is used in a usual way for kindness or goodness of heart. As Christians, this is what you and I ought to desire to have in our lives. Now we come to this little word, goodness, is what we're going to jump into tonight. Goodness. What does it mean? When talking about the word goodness, I think oftentimes we automatically may jump to the world's definition of what goodness is, as we have done with many times throughout this entire series. Oftentimes we think of these words, we begin to define them as the world defines them. But this evening we're going to look at, first of all, the definition of goodness, the biblical definition of goodness, a fruit of the Spirit that is shown in our lives. The spiritual fruit of goodness is defined as, watch very carefully, uprightness of heart, uprightness of life, virtue equipped and ready at every point. Goodness defined is uprightness of heart, uprightness of life, virtue equipped and ready at every point. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A spirit-filled Christian desires to do good to other people. Now watch very carefully. This is not always easy. As we have learned through this entire series, we begin to comprehend that just because we preach on something, or maybe we might even amen to the preacher every once in a while, it's not always easy to do. If we're going to talk about goodness in the world, in the culture that we live in, we desire to do good and we want to do good. But let's just be honest tonight, in the world and the culture we live in, it's kind of hard to do that. Especially when we read a verse like Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10 that we're to do good, especially to those that are of the household of faith. Well, who's that? That's you and that's me. That's us in this room. That there's this command that you and I ought to do good to each other. There's an act of goodness. There's an act of stepping out or maybe out of our way. But comprehend, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, that's not always easy in the culture we live in. We live in an extremely busy society. Everybody's busy. To be honest with you, it's really amazing that on a Sunday night, we can come in and this auditorium is full this evening. Our overflow has quite a few in it this evening tonight. That's an amazing thing on a Sunday evening because a lot of churches have gone from Sunday evening services. So why is that? Well, the culture we live in is a very rushful, busy type of culture. And it doesn't matter with you. It doesn't matter what age you're at. We're not going to compare resumes to what we do throughout our week. But let's just be honest. Whether you're raising 5 kids like the shepherds, or you're heading into your retirement years, or maybe you're even retired, we all live busy lives in our own mind, do we not? We live a type of life that's go, 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 do, do. For all those, Coach Josh and Coach Yider, they will tell you that the basketball season, even for the parents that are in here, basketball season and volleyball season and soccer season, like you don't breathe. You eat and you do your homework and you run to practice and you come home and you wash your jersey and you go off to another practice. And I mean, it's busy all the time. And yet you and I are commanded, no matter what culture or society we're living in, that we need to pause every once in a while and do good for someone. Reach out across maybe even some busy schedules and be the type of light that Jesus wants us to be. Now, when we think of the word goodness or the definition of goodness, oftentimes we run to what the world defines as goodness. The world interprets the word good in various ways. Some people believe it revolves around anything that increases their pleasure. That's good. If it's good for me, then it's good. It feels good, then be involved in it. That's the world's definition of good. I'm good or do good when it feels good when in my life and for me personally. Oftentimes, that's the culture we live in, where the world revolves around us and our schedule and our family, and me, me, me. And if it's outside of me, then I'm sorry, I just can't be involved. It's pleasure for the person. Many people believe it involves materialism. It's what they call the good life, living the good life. If it's good, then it's going to be, you know, a bit better car and a bigger house and a nicer salary, and it's kind of kicking back and relaxing, and it's hitting that 65 or 67 or whatever age of retirement is nowadays. And then it's from there on out, it's living the good life. That's the world's definition of good. For others, it might be, they may equate good as to doing certain things or, watch out very carefully, not doing certain things. Somebody's on a diet and they say, well, I didn't cheat this week. I didn't have any chocolate. So I did or I was good. I did not involve myself in this, so I was good. I did not participate in, and so there's the absence of something, and so therefore, well, then that is good. These definitions that the world gives us, oftentimes, even in the Christian's life, is what you and I jump to. Watch. All of us knew every one of these this evening. It's not like we said, well, I've never heard that before. We've all heard of the good life. We've every single one of us could sit there and say, well, yeah, if it feels good, then just go ahead and be involved in it. For all those who, this week has been really tough. I'll just be honest. Carrie and I, about 2 weeks ago, finally started saying, we got to get back in shape. And, even preaching sometimes, I'm like, man, I can feel my breathing. I got to get back to walking. And over this past summer, I walked 586 miles. I wrote down every time. I walked 586 miles. Then we get here, and it's busy, and it's going, it's new, and I tried. But then it snows 15 feet and all this. I'm joking about 15 feet, okay? Some of you are like, I think he really thinks it snows 15 feet. I get it, okay? But still, it's been hard. And so we're like, hey, we're gonna start getting in shape. And then it's like we close on a house, and then we have everybody bringing over food. And I'm just telling you, one thing about Baptists. Baptists are not healthy people. Are we not? Like, we know the good life, do we not? It's like donuts. We had somebody literally, I don't want to tell on, but they brought us over five boxes, maybe six boxes. I don't even know. Like six, Carrie, how many? Six or seven boxes? It was five boxes. We're Baptists too. We exaggerate a little bit. Okay. Brought over, did you say five? It was five boxes of donuts. Five boxes. I have eaten two of those myself. Man, there's lasagna, then we got spaghetti, and then we got pizza. And to be honest with you, it's been hard to be good lately. It's been hard to eat healthy lately. And then, for me, it's like, for me, this is the honest truth, I love a salad. I love just a good old salad. The problem is, I love a ton of ranch. Don't y'all, like, just squeeze the bottle out. Just get all that ranch in there. Then it's good. I actually like ranch with a little salad. But still, we equate ourselves, and we say the definition, we were good because we were not involved in. But the Bible tells us and gives us a different definition. The Bible explains to us that God is the example of goodness. He's the example. God is the very definition of good. In fact, it's Psalm 100 at verse number 5 that states, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He is not only the example, but through him, we can see the fruit of a goodness in action. You see, God works for our good. That's why Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 speaks of how God works in the life of a believer for good. And we know that all things work together for, listen to the wording, good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When difficult times come in a Christian life, God brings good things from difficult situations. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Don't lose me here. Watch now. We use that verse often, and oftentimes we even take it out of context. And to be honest, maybe all of us at one time or another, I'd have to ask Ms. Kim, but I'm sure we've used that verse to try to take a counsel. Somebody's getting counsel to a place to open their eyes. But to be honest, it's not always easy. Somebody has just lost their mom or their dad, or they're going through a divorce. And you can't just always say, well, God works all things for good. Just trust him. But if we look at that verse and we begin to comprehend that God is a God that is very good to you and I, and he can bring good things out of bad situations. In a bad situation, oftentimes, that is when you and I begin to rely on his goodness and his mercy and, watch it very carefully, his forgiveness more than we do when the skies are blue and it's clear sailing. It's through those tough times that you and I begin to learn of the goodness of God and how he does forgive us and how that he will bring us through the storm and how you and I can trust his word and you and I can fall on his promises. It's through those difficult times that we begin to see the goodness of God, that we can trust him, yes, but then also we can learn from those situations. There ought not to be a bad situation in the life of a Christian that you and I do not learn from it, that you and I do not come out on the other side of that storm more in love with our Abba Father. But it also shows us that God, even though Jesus, when he had his ministry on earth, that even though he went through a tough time, he continued on. Now, let me say this. Listen, if there's anything we can learn from God's goodness, it's this. The goodness of God allowed his only begotten son to come to this earth and to die for you and for me. And they did not take his life. He willingly gave his life for you and for me this evening. And let me tell you something. The goodness of God was this. The goodness of Jesus was he went all the way through and conquered death. And through that, you and I could comprehend that you and I also through trials, also through tribulations, we must continue on. I have to continue. Friend, we cannot afford any more casualties in Christianity. I don't know about you, but doesn't it get tiresome of hearing of so-and-so and they gave up and they quit? I'm not talking about just in a marriage. I'm talking about up on God. It gets tiresome at times. So-and-so used to sing in the choir. Where are they now? I'm not really sure. I just think they kind of gave up. All of a sudden, when we head into 2019, it's all rainbows and butterflies, and man, it's the best year ever. And now we're going to have the new millennium. It's going to be 2020. And man, this is awesome. Brand new year. Let's work out. Let's get in shape. Let's attack this year. Man, this is going to be the best year ever. And then it was not the best year ever. And isn't it amazing how the Christianity, the local church in the United States, all of a sudden we begin to separate those who were playing church and those who were actually the church? Yeah. Oh man. Also, we get into it and we start to find out, what's taken over the church is really such a worldliness and such a shallow Christianity that we head into whether you say a pandemic or a real bad time in our country. I'm just telling you, all of a sudden we start separating those from who just showed up for religion's sake and those versus, you know what, we're going to face some hard times. And no matter what, God is good and we're going to continue on with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yo, shame, this is not part of the message, but let's just follow the Holy Spirit for a minute. Yo, shame on us as a church in America that put so much stipulations and so much heartache on our missionaries that are serving abroad. Those stipulations, those hard times that you better win, you better build a church. How many souls have you reached? Shame on us for putting that on our foreign missionaries, and we ourselves are not doing it. Shame on us. Well, let's get them up here. And I haven't been to a missions conference here, but I'm sure it's like most independent Baptist churches, Pastor Foe. We bring the missionaries up. And yeah, well, going to build in Italy? Great. Okay. We're going to go to Laos, Southeast Asia? Good. Philippines? Well, how are you going to do it? How are you going to reach those people? What's your plan? You know, what if one day you and I went up there and the missionaries sat out here and began to ask us, what's your plan? I don't have one. Well, let's get one. Excuse me, friend, we don't have time to stop. I preached it weeks ago. I'm just going to say it again. For all of those of you with gray hair, don't you dare quit right now. Excuse me, we need you in this battle. Well, it's the younger people. It's the time for them to step up. You're exactly right. It is time. We got the strength and the energy, and we got it. I'm just here to tell you, we don't want to watch you just head home and sit in a rocker for the rest of your life. We need you, friend. You've been through the storms. You've been through the trials. You have the wisdom. It's not a time to say, well, you know, I put in my time, and I'm just telling you, I'm tired, and I've been there. You know what? Somebody else could step up. And I told you a couple weeks ago, I'm just saying it again. I think shame on anybody who says, well, I guess they're just going to put me out to pasture. Friend, that doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help any families coming up behind. That's not encouraging anybody. You know what they also... Honestly, you know what, how that makes them feel? You know what, a young family, I just feel like I want to serve the local church, but you know, so-and-so said they're going to get upset. Man, I'm putting them out the pasture, and pastor, that's just the furthest from the truth, to be honest with you. Who cares what age you are? It doesn't matter if the wise or the young or the old or maybe the strong. It does not matter. It's you and I coming together. together as the body of Jesus Christ and functioning as just that, a body that wants to accomplish something. And are we going to face trials? Are we going to face tribulation? Look, friend, I said I was 36 this morning. I'm really 37. I'm just getting so old, I forgot my age. But understand, it's a true story. Understand, you and I, at 37, I truly believe we are going to face persecution in Indianapolis. It'll never come. Let me tell you something. We've been saying that for years. It's coming. They're going to tell us what kind of school teachers to hire. They're going to tell us what type of curriculum to use. They're going to tell this preacher, trying to tell this preacher what he can and cannot preach. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, all of a sudden, we're going to start separating those from who were really in it for God and for those who were just kind of playing around with Christianity. Now, I'm not sure where all that came from, but I think it's just charging us up. It's time to continue, friend. Yes. The goodness of God is there, even in the tough times. Well, under this presidency, boy, I'm just telling you, here's what's going to happen, and this and that, and that. Look, I can fill this pulpit each and every week with the awful atrocities that's taking place in America. But to be honest with you, it does not matter who is in the White House or who's in the Senate chamber or who is governing over us or who is the mayor. It is time for you and I to step up to the plate and to realize it's not about a president or a mayor or a senator. It is about the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And no matter what's taking place in this world, it is time for you and I to wake up and realize we have a job to do. No matter what pandemic comes our way, no matter what trials or tribulations come in our life, friend, we're not playing church, we are the church. Amen. It's us. It's our time. The definition of goodness is this, is God. And God is the one that works for our good. It's God who gives good gifts. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible tells us of God's good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above that cometh down from the Father in lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friend, can we just stop tonight and say this? God is good to us. If you believe that, say amen tonight. Amen. Oh, he is so good. Friend, look, you may not like what's going on. I may not like what's going on in America, but I'm just, look, travel. Talk to Pastor Chris about this. We've got to get people on the mission field. We've got to get people on the mission field. Just go on a mission trip. Why? It'll make you love that old red, white, and blue even more. We still live in a great country. Look, I'm preaching tonight. I have, Pastor Dan, I have no fear of soldiers coming in the back and arresting me. We live in a free country. If you're thankful for that, say amen. Man, I'm thankful for that. Look, we have several police officers that are here tonight, visit from Tennessee, others who are going to get, ordained or whatever it is, commissioned, I think it is. I'm a Baptist preacher, okay? Being real spiritual, amen. Is it commissioned? I think it's the word. Commissioned tomorrow, amen. Getting commissioned tomorrow. Got a police officer sitting outside tonight. Man, we ought to be really thankful for our men and women in the blue, amen? Thankful for them. If all of you serve in the military, I praise the Lord for it. You know why? Because I get to live in a free country. And sometimes we concentrate on all the bad and this, that. God is so good to us. You know, I've been to other countries, and Thailand and Laos, and spent some time just traveling through Vietnam, and been to Cuba 2 years ago. And you go to these countries, and you realize real quick, man, these people have nothing. We drove tonight with heated seats and, well, some of you with heated seats, and some of us still have tape players, remember? And we got in, we drove here, and we turned off our car, and we could complain about the walk from all the way over there in, but then we sit in these incredible chairs, and they're padded. To be honest with you, we are so blessed. I mean, it's been bugging me, and Pastor Chris knows, and others, it's been bugging me about, you know, these cameras and stuff. It's been a frustration on these poor men who are going through. But you know what? I do praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that we could still broadcast with just a little camera sitting in the middle here? I mean, God is so good to us. You know what? Jesus displayed the goodness of God. the greatest gift God gave to the world was his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus followed his father's example of goodness. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, listen now, doing good and healing all that were oppressed, the devils, for God was with him. You know, Jesus really was good to those that were around him. I want you to think about this thought for just a moment. Jesus really could have helped everyone, could he not? Think about it. He was God. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He could have blinked and healed everybody in the world. You ever thought about that? He didn't have to travel from city to city. He honestly, truly could have just thought about that city and healed everybody that was there. But he didn't. He touched the lives of those that were around him. He healed those that were around him. He was about his father's business. I think it's a great thought for you and I that oftentimes we get overwhelmed with the amount that needs to be done. When God has not put on us the need to, watch now, reach everyone. Would it be great if we could reach everybody? Without a doubt. But God has given us a task as individuals. My task, as I showed you this morning, maybe was not to reach that side with Brother Matt and Susan over there. Maybe that's somebody else's mission field. My mission field this morning was starting here and just handing out the tracts of those who were in my life all the way through. That's who God has given me. That's my task. That's my mission field. You know what I love? The example that Jesus set is that he was about his father's business, and the lives that he touched were those around him. And that you and I have that same type of mindset, that we don't get overwhelmed with thinking, wow, the whole world needs the gospel. Is it true? Yes. But maybe you and I should just do our part. You know, I'm not trying to meddle here at all. But honestly, as a Baptist pastor, I think sometimes even as pastors, we need to get back into our own lane and reach our local church and our local area. Pastor Dane, you know this well. We don't have time to be worried about every other church in this area and what they're doing. Well, Pastor Defoe, I don't know if you heard, but gossip on the street has it. Oh, church down the street, Pastor so-and-so, really compromised. And I'm here to tell you, it's a slippery slope where he's going and blah, blah, blah. We don't have time for that. Look, that's not my lane. That's not my flock. Those aren't our people. This is our family. Excuse me, friend. Do we not have enough to do than to worry about what everybody else is doing? Well, I know what you sir. If you saw, but oh, so and so, boy, I saw on Facebook. I just stop right there. There's a lot on Facebook, and to be honest with you, shame on us for putting it on Facebook. We don't really need to know that we're all brushing our teeth at 10:30 at night. Okay, we're good with Crest white strips. All right, you're good. We don't need to know and see every selfie. But if you do, to be honest with you, we have look. I have got enough to worry about in the five kids that I'm raising than to try to get into every other family and have them raise a family just like I'm raising mine. Bless God, that's the way it ought to be. God's given me a task to do. He's given you a task to do. Now let's be about our Father's business and touch those that are around us. Amen. We're going to see coming up here on Wednesday night. Once again, there's the Mary and the Marthas, and sometimes the Marthas of this world are just worried about everybody when we honestly shouldn't be. Let's be in our lane. The definition of goodness. Guys, you already gave away my second point. The second is the display of goodness. Number two, the display of goodness. So how does this work? Now listen very carefully. Now watch. Being good is what you are on the inside. Doing good is what people see on the outside. That is the Holy Spirit work in our life. You see, being good is what you and I are on the inside. Doing good is what people see on the outside because of the Holy Spirit that is at work in our life. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8 says that the good living is the fruit of the Spirit. For we were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light of the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Goodness, follow this now, is found in the Word of God. Now watch very carefully. Look now. Throughout this whole series, I've tried to pause for a moment and just get into some practicality. Let's just make it practical for a moment. How can you and I reveal God's goodness to others? Well, first we must recognize that goodness is found in the very Word of God. Goodness is not just going by our own feelings. Observe now, how many times you and I can go through our week and use the words, ready for this? I feel. Just start doing it tonight. Think about it. Get in the car and make a conscious effort to mark down every time you and I say, I feel. Well, you know, I feel like. Well, honestly, you know, the way that I feel about it is. Well, the way I feel. I mean, look, we include it in everything. For a moment, you and I have to put our feelings aside, because nowhere in the Bible does God put those two words together, I feel. Our guide must be the Word of God, not our feelings. That's why Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. God has called us to goodness, to be faithful through the instruction of his word. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119 and verse number 50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 119, verse number 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. If you and I truly want the goodness of God to flow through our lives, then you and I must be immersed in the pages of God's word. Look now. The fruit of the Spirit does not work if we're just going by our definition or the way that you and I feel. Look, watch. This doesn't work that way. I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again tonight. Is it not oftentimes we hear a message like this where we tend to want to, pull in religion or what we want or our standard or our preference or the way we want to do things? The fruit of the Spirit will never work that way. We think of goodness. Goodness has to be you and I concentrating, looking out very carefully, watch, on what goodness of God is. And the only way you and I, Brother Jim, will ever know this is if we're in his word. How are we going to know him if we're not in his word? We all have a preference. We all have what we want. We all have our political view. We all have, if we all stood up and said, how do you feel about COVID-19? I'll be honest with you, out of whatever 250 people here, we'd all have a very different mindset of how we feel about it. Look, when we approach spiritual matters, it's not how we feel about it. We have to, as Christians, get back to what thus saith the Lord. And the only way we're going to find that out, gentlemen, dads, is if we're in the Word. It's not a question of, you know, how do you feel about it? The question is, how much are we in God's Word? Look, we just have to be reminded over and over and over again. We are going to give time to what we feel like is important. That's all there is to it. We feel like, and I'm talking about basketball right now, it has nothing to do with our high school, but we're heading into March Madness. All the tournaments are taking place right now. I mean, if you've been watching the Big Ten tournament, the ACC tournament, the SEC tournament, we're on a basketball mode right now. To be honest with you, if we're so busy, we don't have time to get into God's Word, then we really don't have time to watch a basketball game or maybe even check a score. Somebody help me out. Amen? I'm just so busy. But we'll get that hunting trip in. Bless God, we're going to be there. That deer, I've had him on the camera. Well, how'd you get the camera there? Well, I went out in the woods and put it there. Oh, but we don't have time to be in God's Word. Uh-oh. See how fast we get in trouble? We have time for what we want to have time for. Teenagers, listen to me very carefully. I'm so thankful that you have, Pastor Brent, do they have chapel twice a week? Is that correct?
Once or twice a week.
Then you have teen class with Pastor Blake on Wednesday nights. Then you're in three services on Sunday. So that's four, five, sometimes six times a week you're in the Word of God. Man, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But I'll just be honest, don't get everything that you feel like you need spiritually wise, food wise, from just coming and listening to somebody else. Every teenager, every kid ought to be in their Bible. I asked my son yesterday, he's 11 years old. I just surprised him out of nowhere. I said, Tommy, where are you at in your Bible reading? Boom, immediately. It was Psalm 118, I think you gave me. Psalm 118, Dad, I love the verse. And he began to give me this verse. I'm like, wow, man, that's good. He said, Pastor, are you bragging on your kids? You betcha. I was shocked myself, but praise the Lord. Hey, teenagers, college students, be in the Word of God. You want to know, you need to know how God defines things. Look, kids, all the kids, look up here for a minute. You don't need to look down. Just watch just right up here. And it's not that you are, but I want you to watch up here for just a moment. Watch. You know, teenagers, you know, kids, you know, college students, do you know that Satan is after you? No, he wants you. He's not going to stop until he has you. Well, I'm not as important. You're more important. For some of us, we've lived our lives. And for some, they're in the fourth quarter, maybe overtime. They're getting to it. The Satan wants them without a doubt. But buddy, he wants you. Do you know that culture? I'm just going to say it. And Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, they want your mind. They want you. They're going to twist it. YouTube sucking you in. It's for an agenda. Oh, Pastor, you're just, what? What am I? I tell you what I am. I'm in love with the Bible.
Amen.
And I love you as your pastor. And I want you to know that the only way you're going to be able to combat what the world is throwing at you and throwing at you and throwing at you is to be in your Bible. Every kid, it ought not to be a chore. It's not because, well, mom and dad makes me. Fall in love with it. Love it like you would Fortnite. Love it like you would YouTube. Love it like you would your favorite whatever, fill in the blank. But be in love with that word. Why? Because that is going to show you and I what goodness is. Then watch now. I'm almost done. Don't shut your Bibles just yet. But then it's going to allow you and I to cultivate goodness through godly fellowship. Because people of the word often come together and we push each other towards what? Goodness. I love the verse in the Word of God that says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. When you and I are in the Word of God like we ought to be, when you and I are reading the Word of God, then you and I begin to take on what this is. Now watch very carefully. And the more that you and I become this, the more you and I, it cultivates this culture that you and I are going to push each other. We're going to, it's not in a bad way. This is not a provoke like towards sin, but this is a good provoke. It's going to provoke you and I, watch now, to do good. It's no more talking, you know what, Brother Jim, did you hear what happened to old so-and-so? And no, you know what, it provoking is this. Hey, Brother Jim, you asked me last week if we wanted to go visit so-and-so and pay him a visit. We have to see him. Why don't we go make that visit? What are we doing? We're provoking each other. Let's go do that. Let's go knock it out. Darlene, we heard, you know, so-and-so broke their leg and they can't rake their leaves right now. And you know, what are we doing? We're provoking each other. Let's go help them. So-and-so just, you know, they got the flu and, you know, I heard they're real sick. And so, why don't we, does anybody make stews? Anybody make, we all know we make a lot of good food here, lasagna. I mean, we had lasagna the other night, and I'm telling you what, this girl can cook. It was so good. You know, hey, let's go take them a lasagna. That's what we do, pushing towards good works. You know what's funny is when you start to fall in love with the Word of God, it's not that we have to go looking. It's funny, but we just kind of provoke each other towards things that are good. We stop talking about things that are bad, and we start talking about things that help each other. Now look and watch this. If we're not careful, what we do is we take goodness and we think this. If we're carnal, here's what we think. Yeah, that's right. I need goodness in my life. And you know what? So-and-so, you know, I didn't feel good this week, and George never even called me. And it would have been a really good thing, George, had you given me a call. So therefore, I'm going to give you the cold shoulder, and I'm not going to talk to you. And if you ask me, I'm going to wait a couple weeks, but I'm going to let you know how I feel about you not calling me and giving me the goodness that I deserve. That's a carnal person. No, it's not taking goodness and then saying, well, Jim, you owe me. Pastor Chris, you owe me. Goodness, buddy, right here. Give it to me. No. Take it all wrong. Goodness is saying, Brother Harvey, how can we help someone else? Well, how do you get that, Pastor? Because that's the example that Christ left for us. It is finished. Wait here. It's not fair. No one loves me. No, it is finished. Yeah, but they were so mean and there was no goodness in their heart. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you see how when you start, it's so plain. It's just so plain. When you start to take on the Word of God, you start viewing the world, watch now, through the Word of God. As silly as this looks, that's how we're going to view it. Well, what does that mean? We put on the glasses of God, and we begin to see each other through the lens of the Holy Scriptures. And we do that, I'm just telling you, revival will break out. But get ready. You get a Holy Spirit wind in here, there's no stopping it. Two people said today, two people, and I quote, two people walked out and said, I almost ran the aisles today. I said, well, why didn't you? You let the Holy Spirit get in. And watch when a church starts doing good for each other. And it'll catch like a wildfire. And it'll spread through all these, I think somebody said it's the vinyl jungles that they're building in Avon and the surrounding areas. All these houses are going up. It'll spread through every one of those subdivisions, and you will blink an eye, and we'll be building on everywhere trying to fit the amount of people that want what you and I have. What is it? God. Just watch it. It's authentic. It's real. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of goodness displayed in our lives from Him.